Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy.
Our Thoughts Tonight.
Welcome, everybody. Well, tonight, we don't really have thoughts. We more have a thought as a person, I suppose.
Yeah. Today, we will be hosting Matt Orchard, who has a true crime channel on YouTube. But until then, how are things with you, Ishik?
Pretty good. Pretty same, I suppose. I did a video, personal video for myself, diagramming my paper.
like an analysis of the paper you wrote?
Kind of. I just put on a diagram and I drew the diagram. It's like a seven minute long video. It was like,
oh, did you put it on YouTube?
No, it's just for myself. Like, if I'm gonna do that on YouTube, I definitely should do it better, because I'm basically just standing on my couch, like, yeah, just doing that. But yeah, it was cool. But yeah,
you'd be amazed at, like, I'm sure you've seen it, like, some of the most random videos blow up on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like some guy took 2-3 minutes to talk about how to hammer a nail into a board, and it has like 70 million views. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's like taken on a cell phone 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. It's just like a whole, like, you know, it's just the algorithm. There's a way to do it. It's just, what's the secret?
That's actually something Matt and I have talked about quite a bit.
Yeah.
Is because he clearly has more subscribers than I do and viewers. And I started probably 6 to 8 months after him, but we're doing the same genre, or we were at one point. And many people that also were doing the same genre have more views than me. So I'm like, oh, no, that's kind of strange. But anyway, Matt's always like, stop trying to figure out how to get the algorithm to favor you, you know, just focus on writing the best stories.
Yeah.
And that's true. It has to do with, you know, is there demand for this topic realistically? I think that's the main thing that I've noticed over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. But another thing is that another background story between Matt and I is that he was my 100th subscriber, believe it or not, number 100. And he commented on my second video, which I cranked out like 4 days after my first video, because I wanted to make sure I had a couple of videos for people to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he commented on that second video and said something along the lines of, like, you shouldn't necessarily do a case like blow by blow. Mm-hmm. You should kind of withhold some information until the end so you can create tension.
Yeah.
And literally, ever since he said that, I was like, wow, I'm really, really unaware of how to write things, I guess. But anyway, literally everything I write, I think about it like that now. So it was probably the best advice anyone's ever given me in terms of writing. Yeah. And it works for me personally. So anyway, I'll mention that when he gets on the show here.
Yeah, man, building tension. That's I feel like that's, like, I guess hard to do, mostly for the fact that, like, you have all this information, you just kind of want to, like, dump it there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because you're, I guess if you're, like, interested in a topic yourself, you'd be like, let me just, you know, do it thing by thing, you know. I want to show all the information as much as I can, because it's like good stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, when you're making the, you know, the suspense or whatever, it's like, it's like suspense for yourself as well, because you're withholding information you find interesting.
Exactly. That's
what I find hard.
Right, absolutely, because you want to give the punchline, right?
Yeah,
that's like why a lot of people can't tell stories.
Yeah,
you know, when they talk about their weekend, they just, like, start with the punchline, but
and then explain. Yeah.
There's certain books too that are, in theory, the book is really good,
mm-hmm.
But the way they went about writing it is not the best, because it creates no tension. It just comes off as like a publication or something, like a journal mm-hmm. article.
Yeah,
I guess what was that book? The Age of Surveillance Capitalism is really like that. Like, it's an amazing book, but its format is just like fact after fact after fact, as if, like, I'm reading a Wikipedia page or something. Still one of my favorite books, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not viewing the whole narrative as, like, in a meta way. It's not viewing it, you know, the style of it afterward. It's mostly just, you know, going by piece, instead of it's viewing it as a whole, you know, the whole story as a whole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, like, Ken Burns and Matt and JCS and Adam Curtis, for me, like, that's why they tell it as if they're writing a fantasy story, like a Harry Potter or something, but it's real life and nonfiction narrative.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anyway.
It's actual stories, the nonfiction. Well, before we get into the interview, as always, Crucem Sanctum.
Thoughts tonight.
Welcome everybody. Yeah,
we are back with Matt Orchard, and welcome, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
Whoever is listening, you probably know me as Inhuman Form on YouTube, and obviously you know Matt if you're listening to this. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And I'm here with my co-host of Our Thoughts Tonight, Ashok, and tonight we will be talking to Matt about a few things.
Yeah.
So how are you? First off, how are you doing? Besides the mishap earlier.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I am kind of pissed off, but not at you guys, which is the main thing. So for viewers, I've got this microphone set up, which I rely on to record all my videos and also to, you know, if I want the best audio possible to do podcast appearances. And like just as we were setting up the Zoom meeting and I was just adjusting my microphone, fucking mic popped out, and I can't even explain the problem on audio. It's simple, but it's kind of hard to convey in words. But I've got my broken microphone set up just staring me in the face right now as we speak, so I'm just trying to keep my mind off of that. But aside from that, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just looking forward to this all day. And how are you doing, Ashok?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm also looking forward. I've been I was introduced to your videos kind of recently, so I've been, you know, scouring your videos here and there, and there was some good stuff, but I want to get into this later on tonight, which was like really cool. The whole Ted, what was it?
Ted Haggard
stuff. Yeah, that stuff was crazy because I watched all the whole Jesus Camp stuff, and that was like, it was like, you know, hitting home basically. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, it's a great movie. And you really like feel for the kids in that one too.
Yeah,
like people criticize it as sort of being edited to make them look bad or whatever, but I actually thought it really humanized the kids in the evangelical movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, to some extent, I agree. Before we get there, for those of you that don't know Matt, if you're listening and are fans of our show as opposed to your channel, which I doubt because we have very few listeners, Matt Orchard has a YouTube channel that posts videos of true crime cases, but in a very different way, not traditional sensationalized true crime. If you know my YouTube channel, I start off doing the same format, but I've kind of moved away from that. But anyway, I want to hear, how did it feel when you finally recently surpassed 100,000 subscribers? What was the feeling?
I definitely like, I kept an eye on it when it was around 98,000. So I was like kind of constantly refreshing throughout the day, kind of checking in on it. Cause it is obviously a major milestone. So you do keep, you pay attention to it. So when it actually finally hit, obviously, yeah, there is that big hurrah kind of thing. it was cool. But then like, sort of like anything, as soon as you hit one milestone, then you start thinking about the next one. So it's sort of just the same shit, be honest.
Yeah.
It's not like I walk around all day going like, yeah, I'm on 100,000. You just start like looking at when am I going to hit 110? When am I going to hit 120? When am I going to hit 30?
I see you're at 122 or something now, right?
Yeah,
it kept speeding up quite a bit, ramping after the 100K, and it's just sort of started to slow down again. So I'm kind of back in one of those kind of peaks and valleys, sort of plateaus again at the moment. Right. But yeah, I'm glad to be at 100K, but it's again, it is that that classic kind of human condition thing in human form, right?
You're just craving for more.
Yeah, you can never quite be happy with what you've got. Not like I'm, you know, power hungry or anything. I'm trying to take over the world, but yeah, it's not like it, it's kind
of.
Yeah,
so you've taken over a pretty good portion of the true crime world.
Everything's relative, but yeah, I'm happy with what I've accomplished over the past year. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you've honestly, in my eyes, changed the game.
Yeah,
I guess you could say.
Oh, it's flattering. Oh, I was going to say, I mean, obviously, like the person who really changed the game would be JCS, because that's what, you know, my channel is modeled on, and you know, what yours was sort of modeled on at the start and still has a lot of influence in. So it's not like I invented a genre like they did, but I like to think that I brought my own kind of thing to it and showing kind of how you, yeah, what different things you can do within that genre, put it that way.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that's the name of the game, I guess.
Yeah, like what I've noticed is like the whole, we were talking about this beforehand, almost like a thesis building, where it's just beyond true crime. It's more like, it's like studying a theme almost, you know, whether that be like narcissism or something, like some other topic that connects well with it. And that kind of expands, you know, the particular case to something much broader, much grander almost. It's kind of different. I don't know. It's beyond just case studies, it feels like.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, like you mentioned Haggard and Edwards earlier and, you know, alluding to it just then. I mean, that's a good example where it's actually not about crime at all. I mean, technically, I guess doing meth and hooking up with prostitutes is illegal in Colorado or whatever they were. And technically, John Edwards went to trial for campaign fraud. But that's not really what the video is about. The video is more about, like, their narcissism and how believing your own hype is a really fail-safe road to destruction. And yeah, I mean, that is like, it is just a format essentially for storytelling, like just getting raw footage and clips and then applying commentary to them and then telling a story with moving pictures and stuff. You know, you don't, it doesn't have to be an interrogation for that. You can do it with just about anything so long as you've got footage and so forth to play with around that topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, because you and I both did start off as, you know, I don't want to call it an impersonator, but, you know, taking the JCS format and doing whatever, like you just mentioned, you know, taking footage or, you know, different storylines or a thesis, like Ashok said.
Like unambiguously using their format, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very obvious. Yeah, exactly. I want to know what you think of the recent surge of the JCS. I don't want to call them imitators, but just for simplicity's sake, let's call them imitators. What do you think of the recent surge in that? Like, I know you started about a year and a half ago now, and then it's been about 9 months for me. And I think between you and I and one other channel, we were the only three that were doing it at one point. So now there's about 20 of them or so. I'd like to hear your take.
I have a joke in my head, like, don't these motherfuckers know I invented being derivative of JCS? Yeah, I mean, on that, like, it would be silly to be like, this is, you know, stupid because, like, obviously we did it. So, I mean, I definitely, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, if you make something and people like it and want to look at it, I'm all for it, you know? And I hope people do really well with it. I mean, it's obviously a genre that is in high demand. So, you know, like, someone viewing another channel doesn't take away from either of ours, like rising tide lifts all boats. And some of the other ones out there are actually really good. Like, I'm not gonna badmouth anyone. There are, like, I'll just say there are some channels I've seen where I've gone, like, that's not really bringing anything new to the table, and it's kind of very basic. Yeah, like, it's just kind of boring, I guess, put it that way. Yeah. But there are others like the guy who makes Beside the Dying Fire. I chatted with him a little bit behind the scenes. I've seen like a bit of his stuff. I think they're really well produced and really well put together and really well told. There's another one that I saw on one of the subreddits recently, Aurus Crime. And by the way, I haven't actually, aside from Inhuman Form, I haven't watched any of these from beginning to end. Nothing personal, just a matter of like,
right?
When,
yeah.
When you're making these kinds of videos, you get fucking sick to death of it.
No, I noticed that myself.
Yeah, exactly. I watched a bit of Aura's Crime, and I thought that looked really sharp and really sleek. So, like, some of the new guys on the scene are doing really, really good work. And I'm sure it's not like just the two I just mentioned, but of the ones that I've actually seen, I thought they were good. I'm all for it, is the short answer to your question.
I
can see that. You know, you're also probably really, like you said, you get kind of sick of watching it, and you're enveloped in writing your next episode and doing research, which really is the bulk of it. The editing and the writing, I feel like those go pretty quickly once you know what to write, but the research, in my experience, is pretty heavy.
One thing I've picked up on, just as like a bit of a tip, is I think it can be a bit more efficient to actually start writing it as you're researching. Because what will happen if you research a whole bunch, I've found, is you'll go, okay, I know where this is going. I've done all my research. I know what happens. Then you'll sit down to write what happens. Like, you fucking will have to go back and check everything again. Yeah. You'll like forget the date. You'll forget what that person's name is. You'll forget in what order these events happened and specifically how. So you end up having to read all that shit that you did while you were researching again and as you're writing. So you may as well like start trying to craft the story and the narrative. While you're kind of reading into it is what I'd suggest. But yeah, after a full day of it, you just want to go and watch cooking videos. You don't want to, you know, check out any more true crime.
So, I mean, so when you're making these videos, right? So what I've noticed is, you know, it's like you're like normal documentaries almost. You have like this narrator, you know, telling the story and such. But I'm wondering, how much do your fans know about you as like the narrator? But how about you?
Who's the man?
Yeah, who's the man behind the, you know, doing the research?
I guess they don't know a whole lot, really.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity if you want them to know.
I don't know. I don't really like, I don't want to go too much into my personal life, but there's not much to like, it's not like I'm climbing Mount Everest or anything outside of putting my videos together. So I don't have a particularly fascinating life at the moment, to be deadly honest. Anything you want to know? I mean,
I guess another way to phrase it is like, so, you know, obviously some YouTube channels are always, you know, it's very clear that this person is kind of guiding this thing or whatever. Right. But I've noticed is like, it's, but Chan is like yours and also Marat is like, it's more of just almost putting out information almost, you know, it's more of like a, I don't know how else to put it. Like there's other like channels out there who do similar stuff, but they're presented more as like, I am the person presenting this. If that makes sense, you know?
Like personality driven, like to the camera.
Yeah, personality
stuff.
Driven.
Like,
Mike
from that chapter, for instance, would be like a good example. Like he's the main guy in that genre. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you do stuff like that's more, I guess,
expository.
Yeah, objective. Yeah, less. Yeah, so I guess another question I could ask with that is like, do you like it that way? Like, is that something? This kind of question goes for you too. Is like,
do I like the other genre?
How should I say it? Like, I don't know. I guess how would you guys do
you,
that?
I would say like, you know, I guess I could phrase the question as like, you're the omniscient narrator. Do you prefer it that way, or would you rather put some of your personality into it?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you're the authority, the voice of authority in whichever case.
I think I get what you're saying. Yeah, I like that format. I mean, I really like what Mike does as well. So it's not like I think that the way I do things or JCS does things or you do things is superior. But I think as far as, like, what I'm good at doing, like, for instance, crafting a narrative, like, just that format is better suited to, because I don't know how to put this, because, like, Mike tells stories too, but he doesn't tell stories as in, like, a storyteller. He tells stories, like, almost, like, something between that and a stand-up, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
He's really
as opposed, yeah, exactly, as opposed to, like, analyzing themes and crafting a narrative as such. God, that doesn't make any sense at all. But I think you get what I'm trying to get at. But in terms of like the more like, the more objective style and also incorporating your personality, I've started to bring a little bit more of me to the format as of recent, like with the David Bain case, for instance. There's quite a bit more humor and sort of cutaway gags and stuff like that. Whereas like early when I was just literally trying to make it as close as to JCS as possible, I actually thought through the prism of like, oh, like what would be the most clinical way to explain this? Whereas now I'm going, well, if clinical is the best approach, let's do clinical. But if maybe humorous is the best approach and something that would work but wouldn't be very JCS-like, hey, let's do that if it works better. So, yeah, I find I'm incorporating a little bit more of my personality into things when it's appropriate, when it works for the project as time goes on. And, hey, sometimes it doesn't work for the project and it is more a little more hands-off. Like the most recent one, the Memory Wars, is actually kind of more back to serious. So I'm not trying to actually change my style categorically. It is just for like each project, each story, what's called for, and just be flexible with it, I guess.
Yeah.
I actually was going to lead into that. You say that, you know, you thought that Memory War is your most recent video, which everyone, if you're listening, you should go watch. Personally, I think between that and Tale of Two Narcissists, my two favorites, I think. But the newest one, Memory Wars, I actually thought personally that your personality shined through more in this one than some of the other past ones. But you say that you got more down to a raw, serious mode. Is that what you were saying?
Now that you say that, and now that I think of it, there were moments like the Grindr Ladies or whatever where I did, yeah, I guess. Yeah, there probably were moments, Memory Wars, when I injected some of my personality into it. But there are other moments in Memory Wars where you really have to kind of explain what the concepts are, and so that gets more clinical. So it's probably more in-out with Memory Wars, I guess. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how did the Memory Wars come about? What made you decide that one? I know that there's like a method to choosing a case. Usually, sometimes it's the footage, sometimes it's the story. But what was it about Memory Wars specifically that made you want to write about that?
Yeah, I think I've only sat down with a blank sheet of paper or a blank screen and like started looking for interrogations and stuff to pick a case from scratch. I think I've only done that a couple of times so far. Normally, it'll be an idea that's been in the back of your head and you've sort of got the seeds of it. And then you finish a project and you sit down and you just go, you know what, I think it's probably time to jump into that and just, you know, what's the idiom? Bite the bullet. Because you've had like the kind of seeds of it, but you're like, I don't quite know how I put it together. So there comes a time where you just go like, okay, I'm going to buckle down and make myself figure out how to put this concept together. So in terms of where the Memory Wars came from, I'd been sort of familiar with the concept of recovered memories and hypnosis probably since I saw the movie Capturing the Freedmans back in 2005, so ages ago. And it came up again when I was researching about the Jerry Sandusky case, the Penn State scandal, when I was doing a podcast. So yeah, I've always found that to be an interesting concept, and I got a bit of an idea of the background behind the controversy of it with being exposed to those two cases. And that was essentially it. I just thought, well, okay, a doco about that concept, I'm sure would be great. It's just a matter of how to do it. And then after I finished the Bain case and sat down and looked at my notes, I thought, yeah, it's probably about time to jump in and yeah, again, bite the bullet and force myself to figure out how to do that one.
Yeah, that makes sense. I thought you were more footage driven, but I guess that was an assumption I made.
Well, that was a problem with the Memory Wars, was there wasn't enough on YouTube to really piece it together. So I had to reach out to some people behind the scenes and ended up making contact with Rebecca Davenport, who works in her sort of personal time with people who have come to recant recollections that they, of memories that were brought up in therapy. And she kind of works as somewhat of a video archivist in that area. So she had that sand transition therapy thing, and she had that training video about ritual abuse, as well as a bunch of like the Maury Povich thing was hers. That's not on YouTube. And I think even the Dateline or whatever it was, documentary that featured Elizabeth Loftus, I think that was her too. So basically almost nothing in that video was already available on YouTube. I had to go and find it out, which is the first time I've had to do that. So yeah, I mean, I do need footage, but that was one of the problems with that one, is that there wasn't yeah, there was barely any of the requisite footage I needed already available on YouTube. I had to, yeah, kind of make it happen. David Bain was like that too. There's no interrogation of David Bain. There's no raw court footage of David Bain. There's only what was included in news reports, which is just really tough to piece together, because as soon as you get a bit, you think, oh, that's good. All of a sudden, a voice comes up and goes, and then the fuck did it happen? You go, I'm supposed to do that, you son of a bitch. Yeah. So, yeah, it is really hard if there's not raw footage. That is definitely something I typically rely on, but you don't 100% need it. If you can use a bit of think outside the box a bit, I guess. Was that a bit of a ramble? I don't know. I felt like I went on endlessly.
No. This is good info for your fans and us as your fans as well. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to, I guess I was just wondering about maybe, so you said, you know, this footage for this video was kind of hard to get, you know, you have to like reach out and stuff, but like I've heard, so I believe you're from New Zealand, I believe, right? Are you living? Yeah. So
yeah,
I'm not sure if this is in your mind or anything, but like, how would it be, you think, for getting footage for like, if you did any videos on like stuff in New Zealand or something like that? Like, obviously the footage might be a little easier if you have to reach out to somebody and it's, you know, right next door or something. But, I don't know, just have you ever thought about stuff like that? Like doing videos about cases in New Zealand or, you know, situations like that.
I think there was the one, wasn't there? The one before.
That was the one we were talking about was New Zealand.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, it's balls. Like, it's really, really tough to make a video about a New Zealand case because there's almost no raw footage, and we don't film in courtrooms for a public raw broadcast. Like, news teams are allowed in there, and they can film it to use in their reports, but we never have something like the O.J. Simpson trial or the Derek Chauvin trial you want, you can just tune in and watch it from beginning to end. We just don't do that here. So the David Bain case is almost, like, not quite, but almost the only case I think I could do from New Zealand, simply because over the years, as the story kept evolving, there were a bunch of news broadcasts about it that captured the sort of key moments. So with that, you could cobble it together, but it was still cobbling it together. It was still tough, even that one. And that's probably the number one best candidate. There's maybe one or two other cases from New Zealand that you could do, I think. But aside from that, you couldn't really, not with our format.
But anyway, following what you were just saying about the, you know, how there's less information about New Zealand courts and such, what is it like being from New Zealand? And I'm assuming here the most of your fan base is predominantly from the United States. So does that affect your videos or how you think about things?
The framing, I suppose.
The framing, I guess. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I mean, no, I mean, I don't like consciously try to make stuff like from an American perspective. Like, I think we're all human beings. So themes of justice.
Are
and,
we? Are we all?
I'm talking to here, right? Themes of like justice and, evil and, good and bad and the grays in between. I think, you know, everyone gets it. So I don't think about things in terms of like, an American might be watching this.
You
know, we talked about this, you and I, a few months ago, I think it was right when my channel started to go off a little bit. I went from, you know, the first 1,000 or 1,200 or whatever to 20,000 in within a week. And I was getting a rush of comments and you congratulated me. And, I asked you, I think, do you get the political comments? Mm. And you're like, yeah, it's interesting, you know. And I was wondering if American politics, or how do American politics, you know, fall into this? Because I know you did the George Floyd video, which had to be political to some extent, and then obviously the Tale of Two Narcissists.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, when you have like figures like Trump and events like the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd incident, they're very like, they're global political issues. Like, it's not just Americans who care about that shit. Everyone in New Zealand's talking about it too. So, again, the America thing doesn't really come into it for me. I mean, frankly, I'm a bit of an America file. I watch shitloads of American news and consume kind of American commentary and stuff. So I kind of feel like I'm already there. In terms of the politics and like what I get back, I mean, my comment section is 99%+, I would say, positive and civil. So there might be a range of opinions and everything, but there's very little kind of off the rails shit. For that 1% that is off the rails, man, you just like, you can't avoid it. And you get it, like, because we live in these like really hyper polarized times, like you will get literally people calling you right wing and left wing, sometimes for the same fucking statement. I got a bunch of comments on the narcissist video. Probably the one thing that set the most people off was that I referred to Donald Trump as the outgoing president at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And this was after like Arizona had come in. So it wasn't like the day after the election where there was like a lot of shit in the air. It was done, but he was doing some stuff in courts, and some people were like, oh, obviously a fucking left winger, because you're saying the outgoing president trying to get a jab in there. And I'm like, no, man, I wasn't trying to get a jab in. That's just reality.
The same thing happened, honestly, in the Jason Raunsberg video where I said unsubstantiated claims. I still get comments every day, people saying, oh, unsubstantiated, unsubscribed, asshole.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right.
That's the weird thing is, like, why are they even going out their way to watch videos, you know, that, you know, with Ted, it's like, it's a preacher, you know, it's kind of weird to watch, if you were a right winger, to watch a video about the case study of this controversial right winger guy.
Yeah.
And then, a video about boomers or such. It's like, why would you go out your way for most of these?
You know, another good example of copping it both ways for the tiniest thing. There's a line in the David Bain one, just as the intro is ending, where it says, just like all other places in the world, all kinds of other places in the world, we have pain and bickering around our history of colonialism. Now, for that line, I got several people saying that it was essentially like ashamed of being white kind of thing, like another kind of that sort of like almost alt-right nationalism kind of thing coming through, is like, don't be ashamed of your colonialism, fucking left-wing pussy. And I also got people saying, hey, racism and genocide, complaining about racism and genocide isn't bickering, you know, and one person even quite frankly, politely asked me if I was a white supremacist.
Oh my God, wow.
Yeah, based on that wording of that line. So, like, and actually, that person was really polite. It was a really, like, hey, I just wanted to check if, like, you're a white nationalist. and I said to them, I'm like, look, I'm not saying that anything one might have to say around, like, the subject of colonialism is invalid or not substantive. But the fact that I can get that sort of, like, you're ashamed of being, you know, European, and are you a white nationalist for the same sentence? That is bickering, right? Like, that's the sort of tone of discourse we get around that subject. So I think that kind of proves my point or validates my phrasing there. Yeah. And then with, I know I'm going on so much about this question about like political comments, but
I'm interested to hear more.
The other thing that I kind of noticed that I just thought was kind of funny was with the Chauvin Floyd thing. Again, I guess that's the tone of discourse and like the level of polarization, is that quite a lot of people just have their talking points cemented in as opposed to actually thinking about it. So while there were people on both kind of what you could call sides of the spectrum of that issue that offered perfectly substantive, fair points, right? I'm not just saying like all the people on this side of that side were fucking crazy, but there was like a subset of people who were like, it was fentanyl, and you're like, cool, but the video does go into quite a bit of detail about that argument. Like, do you have anything to say about what was brought up at trial about the fentanyl, or are you just going to go fentanyl? It's on auto. Fentanyl. Like, they're not actually thinking anymore.
I remember you mentioned that to me one time, that I should try to follow up kindly to see if they would engage in discourse.
Yeah, I mean, like, not, I don't reply to every commenter, but like sometimes when I get, it's an interesting experiment. Like sometimes you get something that is so clearly designed to like be agitating. Mm-hmm. And rather than go, fuck you, you go, oh, okay, that's interesting. But what I was mean to commit is, da, 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 what do you think? And actually so often they go, oh, well, that they kind of fall into your frame as opposed to being like, oh, fuck you. Because if they don't, they essentially go, hey, I was trying to be an asshole. Like, who's gonna say that? So it's funny. Like, yeah, if you're just really polite to people, often you actually get that back.
It's probably a hard challenge there, is like trying to, you know, separate the trolls from the actual people who have a certain gripe or whatnot. But then again, like, even with what you said, with, you know, the single statement and how people interpret it in different ways, like, people are coming into this with like their own set beliefs, you know, they're kind of, you know, set in their own ways, and yeah, it's gonna be hard.
Yeah, I mean, again, we live in really polarized times, but I find that if you like lead by example, it sounds kind of up my own ass, but you know what I mean. Like, if you want to see civil discourse, rather than complain about lack of civil discourse, just be civil with people and see if you if they respond in kind. And actually, often they do. So there's your sort of white pill for the chat.
Ashok and I were talking actually before you got on about how, ever since I kind of left the format that you and I kind of borrowed from JCS or took inspiration from, my views have been suffering a little bit, which is not supposed to be a complaint because I anticipated this. But I want to know, how do you feel, you know, when a video that you worked so hard on, you know, over the course of months, probably, you know, just doing research, writing, recording. And I know you especially take
a solid month, probably, you know.
Yeah, a month. And your voiceovers, I know you spend a lot of time on them, as you've mentioned in the past, but I want to know how you feel when a video doesn't do as well as you think it will. I know all of your videos have done pretty damn well. I guess it's relative, you know, but when I look at your channel, I'm like, wow, yeah. You know, it's fascinating how it's like every video you drop is amazing and every view count is amazing. But when one flops in your eyes, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, everything is relative, obviously. So yeah, it just depends on what. Look, I basically really try to be disciplined about not investing too much into that. Like, when a video blows up, again, everything's relative. Like, some people would say a million's blowing up. Some people would say like 45 million's blowing up with the crazy video that JCS did, which is ridiculous, by the way. Like, a true crime video has no business getting 45 million views. That is blowing up. But anything below that, it's arguable that it's blowing up, right? But for me, like, a really, really good performance would be like, say, 300,000 views, right? And then like a million would be fucking awesome, awesome.
The one that you did, the April Fool's video, is about at a million, right?
Yeah, that's just, yeah, cracked a million recently. So that's like my benchmark for as good as it gets. Anyway, when that stuff comes along, like when a Coldest Case video comes along and blows up, obviously I feel great about it. And when, like, say I work, you know, 6 or 7 weeks on a video like I did with Chauvin and Floyd, and then it gets age gated, and then it gets like the least like performing video I've ever made. Yeah, a bit, that's sort of disappointing. But at the same time, you've got to go, well, look, am I proud of the product? Yes, I am. And that's the main thing. And I've got no control over it. Move on. And I might get several disappointments in a row, but there'll be mild disappointments because I'm just not going to sit there and fucking stare at it and worry about it. I'm just going to, you know, I give myself like a day or two just to watch the views and stuff, because you kind of can't like not be distracted by it just when you initially drop. But I've got to kind of rule it. Like, after that first 2 days, I just leave it in the hands of God, whether it's going to get, we're going to do well or get a second wind or whatever. And then I just focus on making the other project. That's sort of my way of doing things, I guess.
What, was there a video that like you thought would like go beyond even, you know, the million mark with that video, like the Floyd video or whatnot? Like, was there a video that you thought would just cut through?
No, I seriously, I never anticipate what the performance will be. Because you're sitting yourself, you can't control it. Yeah. So if you anticipate and it doesn't happen, you're just setting yourself up for disappointment. Yeah. Why would you do that to yourself? Whereas if you don't really have any expectations and it blows up, you feel extra related, right? So it's win-win-win. But in a sense, I kind of, although I wasn't anticipating anything, I did feel like there was a decent possibility, funnily enough, that the Chauvin Floyd video would go quite wide, because it was offering, as far as I'm aware, the only, like, as unbiased as humanly possible, like really not trying to be sensational in either direction and just lay out from point A to point Z exactly how everything happened and how the arguments were made. I mean, as it's called, as it happened and how it was argued. And I thought there would be a real thirst and a like demand out there for that. And I think there probably still is. But because I made the decision, which I wouldn't change, of showing it from beginning to end, like the portion where he goes on the ground and essentially dies, I showed that in all its glory, because you can't say I'm showing you exactly how it happened without doing that. It would defeat the purpose of the video. that obviously made it get subject to age gating, which just limited its reach, and it couldn't get that kind of wide spread that I was sort of kind of hoping for.
Yeah, there were like four or five, I don't know, every time I try to click on that video, it's like four or five, like, you know, are you okay with this content or whatever, you know, you had to confirm it like five times or whatever. Yeah.
But does it do it throughout the video?
Yeah.
It's, I didn't even know that. That's really annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, like short answer to your question though is like, I don't get too invested in it. I don't like expect that something is going to do X amount because I've got no control over it. If anything, the opposite, like with the Memory Wars, and again, you can never know, but I was sort of anticipating, based on my experience, it doesn't have an interrogation. It's not about a crime. It's about a concept. It's got shitloads of child molestation talk in it. Like, these are just like all factors that are like really gunning for the algorithm to not pump you up so much. So with that one, I was actually in the opposite direction going, okay, man, I know you think it's good, but be prepared for this to be rather lackluster in terms of its performance. And that's so far exactly what's happening. It's kind of, it's not doing terribly, but it's doing like, okay.
I'm curious. You mentioned the algorithm, that makes me think of YouTube. And I want to ask you, has there been any channels that you have been into? I know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, you kind of get sick of the format a little bit when you're making the videos, but I'm sure you still go on YouTube. Of course. Yeah. I watch every JCS video the moment it comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Fanboy, you know, but are there any other channels that you're checking out these days?
I mean, I do watch all of your videos beginning to end, not just saying that to be nice, but that is one that like I always check out in human form video on day of release.
You said in human form, right?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
No, anytime, brother. Look, I mean, in the true crime vein, and this was the case before I got into JCS. I didn't really watch much true crime before. I'm not really a huge true crime guy. Don't hate it, but I'm not like, you know, it's not my main like thing. So in terms of like what I watch on YouTube, I watch a bit of political stuff like Breaking Points with Crystal and Saga, and a little bit like, yeah, aside from that, like, just there's no channels that I follow religiously, but just when they pop up, I'll watch a bit of them. Cooking shows like Sam the Cooking Guy, I watch like whenever he drops one. Binging with Babish, that kind of stuff. And I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Oh, you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Shitloads of podcasts, yeah.
Well, can you tell us about some?
Yeah.
I'm always looking for new podcasts. So it'd be interesting to hear what you listen to.
So, and like, by the way, based on someone's podcast feed, you might assume stuff about their politics, but don't fall into that trap with me, because I generally try and diversify what I'm getting in. So
yeah.
I might like to hear a perspective, but it doesn't necessarily mean like I'm a diehard that person. But I listen to Ari Shafir, Legion of Skanks. I don't know if you know Legion of Skanks. It's like offensive comedy, basically.
Yeah.
Part of the problem with Dave Smith, that's like an anarcho-capitalist libertarian show. Okay, I've got Megyn Kelly in my feed, but that's only because they had a guest recently that I was into. I don't listen to Megyn Kelly religiously, but I listen to a few of her things. The Joe Rogan Experience, it's kind of a classic one.
Classic Joe. You know Joe's famous on Our Thoughts Tonight.
I listen to you guys talk a bit about him from like another week. But yeah, so like a bit of Jimmy Dore as well on YouTube, Crystal and Saga, a bit of the Majority Report for my kind of left wing stuff.
Yeah. Do you know? Do you watch Secular Talk at all? Since you're into that, people around Psycho Talk. Secular Talk.
Yeah, I watch Kyle a bit.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the Breaking Point. Were you following the whole drama that happened with that maybe a year ago? How, like, there was a whole conversation about, you know what I'm talking about? I think there was a whole conversation. I didn't follow too much about if left wingers can talk with right wingers.
Are you talking about the Leaving Rising? Because there was like,
I think so. I'm not exactly. I don't remember. Yeah, that might have been the thing. I just remember there was a whole conversation. Maybe it was, I thought it was a year ago. Maybe it was sooner or later, but about somehow Breaking Point had a problem with, like, if I remember correctly, Sagar is a conservative, I believe, and I think Crystal's left wing, and there was a whole conversation going on if there would be cooperation, like, is cooperation between the two sides, like, you know, is that actually healthy when both have different reasonings for the thing? I'm not sure if you remember that. There was something going
like
on.
Some people, I know there's some people in the leftist sphere that don't like the fact that I think they would kind of say Crystal by buddying up with Saga is sort of sanitizing right wing nationalism.
Yeah, I think that was sort of the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, there was a controversy kind of just like, not like a specific spat. I think just like it was a broad kind of point of contention within the leftosphere about it. I personally think that's silly, though. It's not like Saga's a white nationalist. I mean, he's Indian.
Yeah.
he's just like, obviously, you know, believes in like borders and protecting one's own people's interests. And so, and like, we can debate about that in Immigration all day, but I don't think it should be outside the Overton window. I don't think you can not, you should make it so you can't sit next to someone like that. It's just sort of ridiculous. Which was sort of where Crystal was coming from. That's where I stand on that. I think the Breaking Points / Rising Project, well, we'll just call it the Breaking Points Project now. I'm all for it. I think it's it is the perfect antidote to that sort of classic crossfire kind of theatrical shit. Where it's just for, again, like sensationalism and just like, no, you can have a left-right thing, but instead of the theatrics, actually talk it out and actually find common ground and actually explore, not to Ruben it up, but, you know, the ideas and everything. I'm all for that show. I really love Crystal and Saga.
Yeah. I remember I only watched a little bit of their show, but yeah, they're pretty good. I like how they talk a lot with Kyle and stuff, and Kyle's pretty cool. And Jimmy Dore as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously Jimmy Dore kind of like has a new controversy every.
Yeah. Every week, I mean, just a few years ago, he was kind of like, I guess, your mainstream left wing commentator, you know, somewhere around there. And nowadays he's kind of seen as like, we don't know what to do with him, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah. Right.
He's still good though. He still has his, you know, grand opinions and such.
He's sort of like the left wing that the right wing is like. Which obviously he cops shit for that, but like when you look at it, it is all from a left wing perspective. But he's just all about like bashing the establishment Democrats. So obviously he gets a lot of kind of more Republican allied people watching his show because they like the fact that he's beating up on
Biden
and shit. But if you actually listen to any of his opinions, they are all like reliably on the left of the spectrum. So I don't think you can call him like, you know, a COVID agent or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just it's his gig.
Yeah. He's more like the, I've always seen him as like the sort of check mark on leftists, you know, cause it's right. He does bash on Democrats a lot and for good reasons, but, he's always like that check mark, you know, that you don't want to go too far or whatever, but yeah.
Are you guys like in a public bar at the moment?
Oh, he's walking behind.
Hey. Yeah.
This is my friend, Matt from YouTube. He's a YouTuber too.
Hey, how are you? Nice to meet you.
We usually do the podcast here late at night, but, you know, because obviously we don't want to start our meeting at, you know, 10 p.m. with you.
Yeah.
It's best to do it in the afternoon, you know, when we have a guest on.
Right.
Yeah.
Like here, it's 4 p.m. right now. So
it looks pretty sunny. Does Alaska get kind of warm in the summertime at all, or is it still kind of freezing outside?
I mean, it's pretty hot.
It's like 70, 75, 80 degrees right now.
Yeah.
What is that
in Celsius? Oh, shit. Oh, that's right. Yeah. 70, I would say that's close to about mid-30s, I'm assuming.
Probably.
Oh, wow. That's warm. That's really warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think was last year or two, we reached like 90 here. That was our limit.
Yeah,
that
which is almost
almost 40. Yeah, which is insane.
Yeah, forgot that the system. I'm familiar with the system because I grew up in Turkey and here, so
yeah,
with the metric system. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, it's funny because we do like how you asked about if we were at a bar or whatnot. Because earlier you were talking about like if he wasn't a question where we're at right
oh,
now.
Oh yeah, 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 I did say that. I was like, he's gonna think we're in a cafe, like doing a podcast or something.
Yeah, somewhere random.
I honestly hadn't really thought about it until I saw your dad walk past. And I'm like, hey, yeah, there's all these like chairs and shit around them. What's going on?
Yeah. I was a little worried about like customers trying to come in, you know, just in case, you know.
So I guess we could do a couple more questions and then maybe wrap up with, we do final thoughts is what we call it. You know, if you have any final thoughts on our thoughts tonight. But I did want to ask you one question since we talked about your successes. Reaching 100K, and I know you got the plaque recently, which is amazing. I can't wait. If I do get to that point, I'm really excited. Which is, it's just material, you know. But
it'll happen. You just gotta keep. You gotta keep going. You never know what video it'll be that'll get traction.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you said, like you've had like a change in direction. So, like, and I see your comments. Obviously, you've kept a good portion of that initial audience who just really like your thoughts and the way you do things. But there's inevitably like another portion that were just there for kind of interrogation breakdowns, and it is what it is. So you just got to keep going until like you'll just get that topic where the algorithm will like your core fan base will respond to it really well, and you'll get like that threshold or whatever of comments and likes where the algorithm goes, oh, let's maybe show this to a few other people, and it'll pick up, and then you'll get your second wind. And then you'll be on the road to 100K from there. But it's just a matter of that, getting that second wind, and you never know when it's going to come and what topic it'll be. You just can't anticipate it. So you've got to keep going, not think about it, but it'll come. Man.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. Yeah.
Well, what did you think about that change personally with like the videos, from the shift from, you know, the case study to like the political commentary, you know, for Inhuman Form? Like, what did you think of it, of that shift?
I'm all for it. I mean, like, I mean, Murat's just really good at like bringing you in and crafting a narrative about whatever topic he's choosing. So whatever topic it is, I'm always interested to see how he's going to approach it, and how it's going to be put together. And it's interesting too. Like, I can never tell what one I'm going to be more into. Like, for instance, financial crisis, I'm not really a huge economics guy, so I don't really have a strong opinion either way. But I was still really pulled into the sort of analysis of the Schlicher or whatever his name is that was speaking in front of Congress. And I thought it was Richard a really Paul. Interesting. Oh, yeah, right. So nowhere near Schlicher. I'm probably mixing him up with some other figure. But yeah, how it actually injected a sort of psychological aspect of it. You don't often see it approached that way when you're talking about finances and the financial crash of 08. Really pulled into that one. And then there will be ones like the boomer one, where honestly, like, I'm not that into generational analysis full stop. So that one probably, like, just from my personal taste, I wouldn't say that's a favorite in terms of like how captivated I was, but still able to watch it and really appreciate from the perspective of someone who is into that kind of stuff, how well it was told and explored. So like, I still got something out of it, even though it wasn't like the kind of thing that rings my bells as such, if you understand what I mean. So that's what that's what I always look out for an Inhuman Form video. I'm just always interested in how is the subject going to be treated, if that makes sense. Cause I can never quite guess how it will be.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you watch my videos. And I was telling Ashok earlier that when I put out my first two videos, you were my 100th subscriber. And then you made a comment and you said something along the lines of like, hey, you should try not doing the case blow by blow, I think is the expression you use. You should try, you know, withholding some information. And literally everything I write, like, that was that was probably the best advice I've ever gotten, honestly, because that completely shaped the rest of my videos.
Yeah.
And I really mean that, honestly. But the question I was going to ask you before we started talking about the about in human form was, I know we talked about your successes, but I want to know, what mistakes did you make along the way? Perceived mistakes, I guess, to 100,000 subscribers. Like, what would you do differently?
Most of them are brass tech stuff, because like you could complain about any like given decision, but it's so subjective, and most of the, like, there's very little I do without a reason behind it. So it's like, well, if it was a mistake, I wouldn't have fucking done it, if that makes sense. Like, I know it sounds arrogant, but when it's like storytelling and stuff, you know, again, you choose these things consciously. Maybe the one I would choose actually for that, though, the montage of like police violence toward the start of the Daniel Holtzclaw video.
Oh yeah,
is brutal. In hindsight, just a bit gratuitous and goes on for so long, and kind of shows, and probably is the reason it's age gated too, which like limits its reach. Yeah. And it wasn't limiting it. Like with Floyd, it was worth limiting its reach to show everything, because that's what it was about. With the Holtzclaw one, it wasn't worth limiting its reach to have that, because the overall project didn't benefit from it. And even without the reach part, if you're just going, was it necessary? You probably could have just alluded to it without showing it. Like, people know about the Fidel Castile incident. They don't need to see it again. So that's maybe one thing I would actually not do again with like the content of one of my videos. Aside from that, though, it's mainly brass tech stuff, like audio balancing. I didn't know about limiters and stuff when I started. So with the Anthony Palmer video, and I still get complaints about it to this day, and I'm like, fucking watch the rest of the channel, dude. I fixed it. But I was still, they'll pop up going like, the interrogation's so quiet. And then you come in like, blah, blah, blah. And with that too, because the Anthony Palmer video like really was trying to be an imitation. Like I was literally making it for JCS. So it needed to be like in as line with like the way they do things as humanly possible. I was kind of trying to imitate Kiz and the sort of almost choppily edited together VOs that they kind of have with them. Like, not in a bad way. It actually kind of, like, works really well for them. But
yeah, it's like a style.
They are almost choppy. And I way overdid it. So it's almost like the VO is yelling at you and going really, really fast. So I just would have redone that whole thing again. Just like way slowed down. And then even like for several videos after that, Holtzclaw, JRH, Justin Ross Harris, those two as well, like nowhere near as bad as, Anthony Palmer in that respect, but I was still manually balancing the audio, not using a limiter. So there will be periods where it kind of peaks up, and it's just like, now that I'm aware of it, like I didn't even know it at the time. I couldn't notice. But now that I know the problem is here, when I listen back, I'm kind of like, yeah, the production quality on those videos, like there's just some really niggly fucking things that stick in my craw.
I can see that.
Yeah, totally. So I would have basically gotten better at audio engineering is my answer to that. Oh, Sandy Melga too. I didn't know that changing it to mono was a thing. So I thought that if it comes out with audio in one ear, there's nothing you can do about it. I found out actually, no, you just go and click it and go mono. So I've got that like whole fucking problem with that video that could have been completely resolved with one click. But now it's like uploaded in perpetuity and will always be like that. So that's fucking annoying. So it's just stuff like that. Technical stuff that I didn't know when I was making things that I've learned over time. Could have made my videos a bit sleeker. But that's just part of the learning curve, man. If you pick up video editing from scratch and you've never done it before, there's going to be some teething issues.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a part of the game, I guess. So any final thoughts?
Just about anything?
Anything you want to promote? Anything? How do you feel?
I'm just really pissed off about my microphone. I'm going to have to figure out am I going to have to buy a whole new stand just because the thing at the start won't tighten? At the top won't tighten? Like, it's just really pissing me off, man. That's my final thought. It's going to ruin my day. It's going to ruin my day probably. Yeah.
Sorry to hear about that. I want to thank you for everything you've done for my channel, and thank you for being on our podcast tonight. And it was great to have you, Ashik. Did you have any final thoughts?
Nothing specific. Just thank you for coming in. And this was great. And I guess looking forward to your future videos, really.
Thanks so much, man. Well, thank you for watching. And thank you so much again for having me.